Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Hello, this is Ian Lee. Thank you so much for downloading Ian Lee's Random Access Memories, a retro gaming podcast. Do check out the Patreon, patreon.com/IanLee, IanLee. And also go to my YouTube channel and look for the Random Access Memories there. Again, it's youtube.com/IanLee. Thanks for downloading. Shelley Blonde.
Hello.
It's so lovely. We've never met before. We talk a lot on Twitter. You've been so supportive of me through the years. Well, but we've never met before, have we?
We haven't. No. But it's lovely to see your face now and lovely to get a chance to chat to you.
I have got booth envy for that. I'm going to kind of tease out a little bit, booth. I want to tease out a little bit your connection to video games, because we'll get there in a second.
All right.
You are an actress. You are a writer, an author. You're also a voiceover artist.
Yes.
And you have got your own sound booth. I do mine under the stairs. Where
right.
If
is
a
that
cat
where you are?
I'm under the stairs, yeah.
Yeah.
And if a cat walks by or Amazon knock on the door, I'm scuppered. You've got your own booth.
I've got my own booth that my husband built a week before COVID. He said, hold on a minute. I think we're all going to shut down and you're not going to be able to go to a studio to work. And I'm going to build you a booth. And he took a little tiny cupboard in the attic, which usually has our suitcases and fans and things like that.
Yeah.
Took everything out, put soundproofing everywhere, microphone. He taught himself how to do it all, how to wire it all up and
wow.
how to connect to source connect and things. And I've been working here since the very first day of lockdown. And it is amazing. I too have to stop if the doorbell rings or if a truck's reversing. But the sound is fantastic.
Yeah,
and it
that's
saved
amazing.
My butt. Yeah,
I bet it did. How was doesn't it seem a long time ago?
It does.
But actually, it wasn't. How was the whole lockdown vibe for you?
Do you know? For me, it was terrific because my husband is rarely home, so he works nights. He works in a restaurant. He has a restaurant, and for myself and the kids, it was amazing because the restaurant was shut and he was home, and that was a magnificent time. And of course, my work thankfully continued to come in because of the booth, so I could work from home and be with the kids, and you know, apart from the whole homeschooling thing, which was a bit of a nightmare. It was good for me because my husband was home. You know.
May I, and if I ask anything that's inappropriate, tell me to jog on. Can I ask how old your kids are?
Yes, Aaron is 14, just 14,
right.
And Luli is 12. Yes.
Oh, okay, similar ages. My boys turn 12 and 14 in January, so very similar ages.
Yes.
And I don't live with them or their mum, so during lockdown, it was kind of good because it meant we were allowed out of the house to go and collect the kids.
Exactly.
And we could see people and stuff. And we were really lucky. The boys' schools were so good at the homeschooling, about having lessons on Zoom.
Yeah.
And the first few weeks, I thought, geez, and, you know, I had to kind of sit with them and go through stuff with them. But then once I got into it, I thought, oh my God, this is a unique opportunity for me to spend some time with my kids that I would. And it's hard work because I was doing shows in the evening and, you know, would go to bed at 1 o'clock and was up early for the school.
Yeah.
But it was a unique opportunity to sit in the kitchen with my, he would have been nine.
Nine then, yes.
Yeah, nine-year-old boy going through maths and stuff, doing PE with him on Zoom, with his teachers on Zoom.
That's the bit I loved. Zoom, the PE was terrific. That was brilliant. But my God, that I hated every minute. I think COVID didn't stress me out half as much as getting the homework in on time. Or look, you saw me setting up with you. I'm a technophobe. Setting up the Zoom with the teachers. My blood pressure went through the roof, and I was so happy to send them back.
My boys had too much work, and I would say to them, guys, I think, come on, you're done. Let's go out and play some football. Let's go and, play some Fortnite and stuff.
Good for you.
They were setting a bit too much.
Yeah. I think it was a good time in that you learnt what was, you could see what was important, and that is family time and being able to connect and talk in a way that you don't normally. They go out to school, they come back and they've got homework and the husband's busy or the work. It was a really lovely connecting time, I found.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever played a video game in your life?
I have played Pac-Man and Tetris. I would love to say, I'm brilliant. I'm brilliant at Tomb Raider. I've never played. I can't. I don't know what I'm doing, frankly.
We should say this is a retro gaming podcast, Random Access Memories, and you are the first guest that I've had on that hasn't played games, and there is a reason. You don't need to pull the face; it's quite common. There is a reason we got you here, and you just mentioned it. You are the voice, the original voice, the OG, I believe my kids would say.
Yes, I would.
And the goat. You're the original voice of Lara Croft in Tomb Raider. That's amazing.
Repping.
She's pointing at her boobs. You're wearing the merch.
I'm wearing the merch, pointing at her boobs. Yes, I've got a Lara on my chest. Yes, I'm the original voice of Lara Croft.
Wow.
And I am, sounds ridiculous, I'm so bloody honoured to be her. You've got no clue. I mean, back in the day when I got the gig and it was just a job to me, and I went in and did my 5 hours it took and came out and didn't give it another thought. It's only all these years later when I joined Twitter and I saw what a huge fan base she had and the game had. Yeah. And I just couldn't believe I was hearing all these stories about how people connected with Lara, how they got through being bullied at school, or they were able to come out because Lara gave them strength to do that, or stand up to this, that. Or it was a game that they would play as a child with their father who's no longer with us, or their mother who's no longer with us, and how my voice was a part of their childhood. And it just blows me away. It blows me. I'm so grateful. What an opportunity. It blows me away.
That stuff is incredible to hear people. I think it's the 27th anniversary.
Yes, which is odd because I'm 24.
Yeah, I know exactly. I'm 26, so there's something wrong with the maths there.
Something's not working out.
How amazing for a job you did over a quarter of a century ago for it to still be impacting on people, for them to come forward and share those magic memories that you were a significant part of.
Yeah, it's something I don't take lightly. I hear stories from all over the globe, from everywhere, Brazil and so many places about how they connect with Lara or what she meant to them. And it's something that I will take with me always. It's an incredible thing to be part of.
Now, I'm going to ask you a question. And having done voiceover work and TV stuff, the answer, people say, so how did you get the 11 o'clock show? Yeah, I auditioned for it and got the job.
Oh, did you? That's,
yeah, that was it.
Sorry to go off track. I presumed it was written for you. It was written around you because you were so bloody good.
Oh, Come now. Once I got it, it was there in some form of shape. And then when they got me as a presenter, they kind of shifted it a bit to fit me. But that's how most people get these jobs. You audition for it and they go, yeah, you got it, or no, you haven't got it. I'm assuming that was the case with Tomb Raider.
Yes. Yeah, so bit of a story with that. They searched for the voice for Lara Croft for 6 months. Is what I was told by Eidos. And I was very new to the game. I hadn't been signed long when I was asked if I wanted to audition. And in those days, it was, you know, you'd receive a script in the post or faxed to you, and then you would press play and record on your little cassette player and do the voice and then send it in the post to them. So I did
that. On an actual cassette?
Actual cassette. It's got to be somewhere.
Blimey.
And I didn't think anything else of it. It was just an audition. 3 or 4 days later, I heard that they wanted to have a conference call with me and some people in Derby and some people in London at Core and Eidos to do some more lines over the phone with them. And at the end of the conversation, I was told I got the job. And it wasn't till you know, later that I found that they'd been looking for so long and hadn't found her. So again, that was another like a coup for me. Wow, I was so new to the game. And then they heard me and said, that's the one. After hearing all these established voices, I was, you know, amazing.
And you say it took you 5 hours. I mean, video games now, it's like 3 months people go in and do the script for, because there's so much.
Yeah.
How did it work? Did you see the character? Did you see any of the game, or did you just go in cold?
I just saw pictures. I saw rough sketches and very, very basic. But also now when they do a game, it's all with mocap and they have all the little, you know, bits stuck to their face and they have to do all the acting. Then it was just literally the voice. So, you know, you can get all that in a few hours. But now there's so much involved. And the script is much heavier now. Back in the day, it was, you know, welcome to my home. Or I think I'd better get out of these wet clothes now. And that was it. You know, and then goodbye, cup of tea and go.
Oh, my God, you know. I'm completely fanboying now. Because I'll tell you my kind of Tomb Raider story. I remember... I went to this, it was this big sort of gaming event, some big expo somewhere, or maybe at Earl's Court, something like that. And they had this big Sony display.
Right.
And Tomb Raider was on it.
Right.
And there was a big queue. And I thought, oh, there's a big queue here. This looks like it might be something interesting. And you went up and played it. And there had never been anything like it. I think it was like the first level or the first 10 minutes of the game was playable as a demo. I remember running through a cave and I thought, wow, we're running through a cave. And it's talking, oh, my God, there are wolves coming for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Never seen anything like it. And I remember thinking, my God, this is it. This is the peak.
Did you realise this was something? This was something big. This was a game changer.
And she became still is part of the culture. Mm. You know, she was on the front of magazines. Mm. You know, the fact that we're talking about the game 27 years later, and there's been reboots, and there's been God knows how many movies there's been of the whole thing. I'm guessing when you're in the booth for the 5 hours. No, doing all of that. I just did my Lara Croft impression.
That's very good. No.
Thank you. Honestly, when you do that, for me, it's like I'm interviewing Paul McCartney or something. And I come over all...
Paul McCartney.
I come over all peculiar because this, honestly, was such a big part of my life. But I guess you're in the sound booth doing the 5 hours. You come out and go, right, well, that's another job done. What's next?
Yeah, and I didn't give it another thought. It wasn't until, I think it was a year later, when I saw her on the front cover of a magazine, that I thought, hold on a minute, I'm sure I... Didn't I voice her? She looks familiar. And and again, until I joined Twitter 5, 6, 7 years ago, didn't have a clue. I saw the movies come out. I knew they'd done games 2, 3, and 4, whatever. I didn't have a clue how big she was, really, because I'm just not in that world.
Yeah.
You know.
So you did the first game, the original game, the best game by quite some way, it has to be said.
You have to say that because I'm here.
Downhill after that. No, but they did. So did they got another actress in to do that, I'm assuming? Or did they have enough of you that they could reuse it?
No, they did ask me. But at the time, it was a year later, you see, and by that time I was quite established. So I was signed. I was signed to Disney and Discovery. And what's that on your lap?
This is one of my cats.
Hello. Oh, how darling. Oh, gosh, gorgeous. And we couldn't make the dates work, and they had a very specific time frame to do it. And I just couldn't do it. So they said, we need to get another voice, but can we use your voice, your sound bites on 2 and 3? So I said, yeah, absolutely. So they got Judith Gibbons to do it, and all my sound bites are on 2 and 3.
How amazing.
Yeah.
So when you went on, so this was a job, you did it, it's gone, and you're off doing, you know, your peep shows and all of your bits and pieces that you've gone on and done. You winced when I said peep show. Why is that?
Have you seen it?
Do you know, I've never seen peep show.
Oh, well, you know, if you saw it, you'd know why I winced. It's brilliant. Listen, it's blooming brilliant, but it was rather risque.
Oh, really? Do you want to tell me more?
Well, you know, there's threesomes, there's I might have had to wear a dildo, and and it was great fun. It was great fun.
Can I just say, if my kids are listening, that word she just said there, what it is, it's like we'd call it a top hat. It's a type of hat.
No, you know the dodo, the extinct bird, the dodo, that's what I was talking about.
That's what it is. Oh, my God, so it was it was filthy, was it?
It was filthy fun. Terrific fun. But you know what the really freaky thing was? Not too long ago, and I recorded that, oh gosh, I was, how old was I? It was 2005 I filmed that.
Right.
And about 4 years ago, I was in Tesco, minding my own business, at a little self beep beep till, and putting all my stuff in the bag, and this security guy sidled up to me, and I thought he was just checking, you know, what I'm putting in my bag, making sure I'm going to pay. And he came up to me and said, all my lines from the peep show, all the filthy ones. Yeah, all the. And I went into such a panic, sweat pouring out, went into such a panic, oh, thank you very much, and paid and walked out without my shopping. And it wasn't until I was on the train on the way home that I went, oh my God, I forgot my shopping. Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
It's, I kind of gave up. Well, broadcasting me kind of fell out a few years ago, and when I lost a job in 2020, and wasn't really offered anything again. It's a weird thing. Everyone goes, "Oh, you'll be all right."
Yeah.
No, it wasn't offered anything, and luckily, it precipitated a career change, and now I'm working as a therapist and a counselor. So it's all worked out for the best.
Yes.
But I look back and think I had 25 years. That's a really
that's
good
incredible.
Right, that's a really good run of work in show business.
Yeah.
And you're still, what a rude makes it sound like, you're still going. And you are still continually working. That really is something in this business.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it goes, you know, it has its twists and turns. You know, sometimes they, you know, I do only voiceovers now. That's what I love to do. That's where my passion is. But, you know, it goes up and down a roller coaster. Sometimes they want, you know, the trend is for northern accents or very, very street, but naturally street, not, you know, me going, all right, governor. They want, you know, and then you won't get work for a good few weeks or a good few months because of that trend. But it does seem to always come back. And I have my regulars, which I'm really, really grateful for, that they know that I'm going to do the job. I'm going to do it how they want it. I'm going to get it in on time. And I'm going to, you know, show up and do it right. So that helps a lot, not just having a good voice, but being someone people want to work with. You know?
Yeah. And it's one of those jobs. I was so lucky for nearly all of the 25 years I was in work with very few breaks. It is one of those jobs. You can have a quiet 2-3 months and one phone call can change everything and set you up for the next
absolutely.
6 months.
Yeah. I had an ex-boyfriend of mine. Oh, sorry.
No, go on. I'm just my cat.
An ex-boyfriend of
mine. What are you doing, Patty? What is going on? I always worry that
Can I just double check that I am recording because I've gone into a panic.
Oh my God. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Two secs. Hold on. 2 secs.
You are listening to two professional broadcasters who don't have a clue what they're doing.
Hurrah. She's haven't recording. She's recording.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm back.
You're recording, but I've lost you. Oh, there you go. You're back. Have you ever done anything where you've not recorded, you've not pressed record, or you've completely ballsed it up?
So this could have been the first time, but thankfully. I was just saying that I had a friend of mine who didn't work, I mean, for such a long time. I'm talking maybe a year, maybe more. And then one day he got a voiceover for KPMG, an accountancy firm, and it was a worldwide commercial.
Wow.
And he made about 10 years worth in that one job. So, yeah, it can all turn around.
Well, may I tell you, my best ever voiceover job was probably about 99, 2000. It was for the RAC. A to B, RAC to it, and it was in the day. You don't get these deals anymore. Got paid a flat fee, beautiful, and every time they used it, £250 would find its way into my bank. And I remember I was watching Coronation Street, and the advert came up in Coronation Street, and I turned to my partner and said, "I think we're going to be all right." And oh my, it was the magic money tree. And you don't get those deals anymore. Now it's you get two grand, and that's it.
Yeah. They used to be big guns, didn't they? They used to be, woof. I remember that.
Yeah.
I wasn't in it then. I wasn't in the game then, but.
I was in the game then, but I was spending money on stuff I shouldn't have been spending money on, so I have nothing to show for it, but just some good memories. Right. Well, I don't even remember those. So have you never been tempted at any point? Have you got a copy of Tomb Raider?
I have, somewhere. Yes, I have somewhere in the loft, yes.
And you've never... My cat really is running around.
Oh, what does matter? I can't hear her.
That's why I'm slightly...
I love your fire, by the way.
Patty, what on earth are you doing? So unprofessional.
I love
your
fire.
So you've never been tempted to crack it open and have a go?
No, I wouldn't know what to play it on. What do you play it on?
You'd play that on an old PlayStation.
Yeah, I haven't got one of those.
No.
Isn't it something you can just... Can't you just put it into a computer? No.
Oh my gosh, no.
Now you see,
I'd love to see you try that.
Maybe we could do a little video.
What about
trying.
your kids? What do they think about it?
Well, my son is obsessed with Tomb Raider.
I've lost. There we go. I've lost you for a second. You're back.
I'm back. My son, Aaron, he is obsessed with Tomb Raider. And we don't have a PlayStation or anything, but I bought him a little Retroid. Is that what you call it? A little Retroid. And we've got the game on there.
I see
him sitting and playing. Yeah. And that's fun. You know, the first time, he was quite young when he played it. And the first time I was sitting next to him and I said, welcome to my home on the game. And he went, Mummy, as he played it. And it was just so cute.
That's magic. That's magic. That's the one thing I haven't done. The only... go on. Sorry, there's a little bit of a lag, but you go on.
No, there's a little bit of a delay, but I wasn't saying I stopped. Go on. You go.
It's the one thing I haven't done. I've done everything. I TV, radio. I was even in... Oh, here we go. I was even in a movie with Angelina Jolie. I had a very tiny part in a
movie.
Yeah, I know, isn't it? It was a terrible film called Beyond Borders. It's bloody awful. I pop up in the first 5 minutes. It's set in like 1984 or something. And I'm a stand-up comedian at this big fundraiser. And it's bloody awful. And I'm bloody awful in it. But I've done that. The only thing I haven't done, the last thing on the list I would love is to be in a video game. Get my voice in a video game. That's the final dream. And again, it's partly
because... That'd be the cherry on the cake.
It really would be. And it's because my kids would love it so much if they could play a game and go, yeah, that's my dad. It's my dad.
Yeah. Go back to the Angelina Jolie thing. Did you have to audition for that? You did.
Yeah, I tell you what it was. It was directed by this guy called Martin Campbell, who directed GoldenEye.
Yeah.
And he'd seen me on a TV show. Yeah, he'd seen me on a TV show on BBC Choice, which is now BBC Three. It was called Liquid News, and it was like a sort of... it was like a sarcastic look at the news and showbiz and stuff. And he'd seen me on that, which was great because I didn't really host it. I was just like the stand-in from time to time.
Yeah.
And he called me in, and I don't think I auditioned. He just said, right, we need a stand-up comedian in the background. It's 1985, and can you write something topical? And I went, yeah. And me and my mate Paul Garner wrote a bit about Margaret Thatcher and about Live Aid, I think.
Right.
And it was one of the best gigs of my life. I got paid 10 grand. Wow. I was flown first class to Canada. I was put up in an amazing hotel and I was making a movie.
That's amazing.
Oh my God, it was a gas. It was
wonderful. Did you meet her?
Well, regular listeners to any of the work I've done and my partner will go, oh, he's going to tell the story. Yes, I did meet her. I got to chat to her quite a lot, her and Clive Owen, and we chatted quite a lot. And I remember I was talking to an extra and we were having a very lovely conversation. And I could see Angelina Jolie at the side of my eye waiting to talk to me.
Gosh.
And I'm thinking, oh, God, I wish this extra would shut up.
Anyway,
she waited and I turned around. She went, Ian, I just want to say, I'm really enjoying what you're doing here. I think you're really funny. And she gave me a kiss on the cheek.
Wow.
I know.
I love that.
And there's me. And I would have been 28 years old going, oh, my God, this is the coolest thing that's ever happened to me.
Ever. What a gig.
Yeah, it was... It was pretty special, but the interesting connection. What did you think when you saw her in? Did you see her in the movies playing?
I did. I have to tell you, I think she is Lara Croft. Gosh, she's perfect. She really is. She's exactly who I would. I mean, she's magnificent. Perfect.
Was there never a part of you that thought, oh, should have been me?
Me with me short, stocky legs and 5'2"? Don't think so. Don't think that would have gone down too well. Also, I always see that kind of look flash across a fella's face when they say, anything you would have done that I'd know? And I go, I don't know, do you know any computer games? They go, yeah, of course. And I go, Tomb Raider? They go, yeah. And I go, original Lara Croft? And they go, oh, that's amazing. But I see this look going, that's you. That's what you look like. That's what she looks like. Yeah. But, you know, what you going to do?
Because I'm becoming aware of these Comic Cons and these events and stuff. Have you ever done any of those?
I have.
What are they like?
I think I've done about six. Now, they are fantastic for different reasons. First of all, I get to take my best mate Lottie with me. You stay wherever it is. You travel the night before. They put you up in a 5-star hotel, and I get to take my mate. And she comes with me, keeps me company, and chats to the people as well. But she also takes the money. So for somebody going to do a Comic Con, it is fantastic for making extra money. Because people pay to see you. They pay for your autograph. They pay for your photo with you. But it's also, A, so much fun with her, but B, so fantastic to actually meet the people that play the game. And this is where I hear all the stories. I get a few stories on Twitter, but this is where I make the connection. Because, oh my gosh, I've got people that love the games from all ages. One girl, Emily, started coming to see me when she was 5. She's now going to be 12. I've got you know, older gentlemen. I've got people that come with their parents, and some of them stand there shaking. I can't believe I'm meeting you. And I'm like, where's Michael Jackson? Because it's only me. And they are, it's just lovely to hear their stories, lovely to touch base with them and meet them. And it's great, great fun. Really great fun.
It is, and I'm not, you know, because I really wanted you to come on this show. I don't know you very well, but we chat from time to time. Yeah. And I really wanted you to come on. But I thought, I don't want to ask her because maybe she's bored about talking about that. And it was a long time ago. But when you got in touch and said, I don't know if you'd be interested.
I did.
Oh, my God, Shelley. I was so excited. I was so excited. I was proper fanboying. And when you just did the voice then, it's like, it was such a significant part in my life, that time that it came out. It was a real time of transformation for me, of discovering who I was, what I wanted to be, and just I could just sniff that success, whatever that means, was kind of ahead of me. And it's a flipping excellent game, you know, as well, which we would pour hours and hours into it, and my friends.
Yeah.
I'm such a big fan of that game and of that character and of what you brought to it. So completely fanboying out, you know, when you said, I'd love to come on and talking to you now.
Well, do you know, the reason I said that was because I think you put out a tweet, if anybody wants to come on and talk about vintage games, retro games. And I am such a support. I am, I adore you. I whenever I've watched you on TV back in the, 11 o'clock show and LBC, I just thought, I don't know, if I can, you know, be on it and do a show with you, I'd love that. I'd love that opportunity. When is that going to come up again, that I'd get to sit and chat to you like this, you know? So I thought I'd just ask. And I was shaking. I was nervous that you'd go, no, it's not for me. Not that sort of vintage, no. So...
Well, it's a big thing to put out. I think the tweet was, are there any of my famous friends that want to... that want to come on?
Oh, because
I get so nervous asking people for favors and stuff like that. Do you know what I mean?
Of course. But your famous friends should be only too happy to do it. Surely your famous friends will be only too happy to support you. I'm not famous, but I knew it was retro. That the retro game thing was something I could talk about.
I said you were an author. You've written books. Are they children's books?
They're children's books. Let's not be thinking it's War and Peace. It's The Multicoloured Bird and The Scary Spider. And it's I wrote them when I was pregnant with my children. And it's published by Five Dads. There's a lovely website called Five Dads, which they have certain stories on the website. And... mainly soldiers, people that are away from home fighting, they will read the story, record the story over the website, and then send it to the child who's at home, wherever they live. And then the child can hear the story as a bedtime story before he goes to bed. And they asked if I would like to put my two books on there, and I did. And that was lovely for me. And I've had them made into proper books, and I give them to all my friends and their children.
That's incredible. And don't, you say it's not War and Peace. As someone who has read a lot of stories to my kids, there's some bloody awful ones out there. So, it is difficult to write a really good kid's book.
Yeah. I don't know if it's a really good kid's book, but it's all in rhyme. I love to do everything in rhyme. So it's all in rhyme. And my kids loved it. My kids loved them. So,
I'm just now remembering some books, the kids' books that really annoy me. There was one. Was it the best dressed giant in town? This may not ring any bells. Here.
No.
Oh God, it was. I'm sure it was great, but when you've read it 5 million times, it was about this giant, and he was naked, and then he found some clothes at last. Thank God!
Hurrah!
Hurrah! Hurrah! but then. I miss that. Now my kids are smelly, farty.
Yes,
mine teenagers.
Too. Yes,
I miss that.
Yeah, do I miss that? I don't miss that. They're still at a stage when they're cuddly. They're very snuggly and cuddly, so I still get that. But I can't be bothered now with reading a bedtime story. I'm done.
we went and saw, we're a big fan, I don't know if you're aware of Danny Robbins, who does this TV series and this podcast called Uncanny. It's brilliant. It's ghost, basically real ghost stories. Right. He goes and investigates.
Wow.
We went and saw him. We like a good scare. And we went and saw him a couple of weeks ago. And my soon-to-be 12-year-old was staying here. And he leant over and said, "Daddy, can I sleep in your bed tonight?"
Oh,
and there was a part of me that went,
yes.
And I said, "Of course you can," because he was too scared to go up to his room.
That is adorable. I also like it when they're not very well and they have to be at home because they really need me and they're really snuggly then. And I do like that. Yeah.
And there's what I'm going to take away from this. You like it when your children are poorly. That's
somebody report this lady.
It's funny, isn't it? I get, and maybe it's the same with your kids. My kids are they're big tough guys.
Yeah.
But I still get glimpses of the little baby.
They're still babies.
Still get the little baby, even from the eldest one.
Yes, they're still babies. I don't know if your son, the 14-year-old, is his voice broken yet? Has he developed?
God! It was incredible. I phoned him up once and he started talking like that. And I said, "Have you got a cold?" "No, I don't think so."
Oh my gosh! It's happened.
He comes up to my eyes. He's got bigger feet than me. He's size 12 and I'm a size 10.
And how tall are you?
I'm 6'4". So he's got to be 6'1", probably. Taller than his mum already.
Wow.
I think you said you were, did you say 5'3"?
5'3", yeah. 5'2", 5'3", yeah.
Hanging on to that extra. Are they towering over you?
No, not yet. Not yet.
Okay.
But my son is approaching, but his voice hasn't broken. So, you know, my son, they do voiceovers as well. And my son is the voice of Thomas the Tank Engine for Channel 5. And he's got the sweetest little voice and we're still holding on to that voice. He's still able to, it hasn't broken yet. But it will.
Oh my God, you must be so proud.
I'm so proud. And funnily enough, when they got into voiceovers, I didn't think he'd do many at all because he was a very big mumbler. But doing voiceovers has really helped him with his speech. And he's phenomenal. He does loads, audiobooks and commercials. And he's really, but he's still got that little tiny baby voice, yeah.
Very isn't cute. That magic? Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Of course, the second his voice breaks, kick him out.
Kick him out, up the chimneys. At the chimneys.
Shelley, is there anything you're working on at the moment or anything you want to plug that people should know about?
No, there's nothing I want to plug, but I'm just doing all my regulars, you know, for Food Network and TLC, and there's nothing I need to plug. Just, you know.
It's so lovely. It's so lovely to see you. Thank you so much for your time.
And you look terrific. You look so Christmassy with your Santa hair and your fire in the background.
In the background.
Yeah.
Would you indulge me? I just got to read out a few Patreon names of the people that I've got to put my glasses on that have been supporting the show. So let me just say thank you to the Patreons for making this possible. Martin Warren, Craig Hannon, Sam Hughes, Harsh Singh, and the executive producer, Matt Stanley Evans. So thank you.
Well done, everybody.
Well done, everybody. Rosettes all around.
Rosettes.
It is so lovely to talk to you at last. We have to do a coffee or a lunch or something at some point.
It has been my pleasure and I would love to.
Thank you so much for downloading Ian Lee's Random Access Memories, a retro gaming podcast. Do check out the Patreon, patreon.com/IanLee, IAINLEE. And also go to my YouTube channel and look for the Random Access Memories there. Again, it's youtube.com/IanLee. Thanks for downloading.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.